I have a priest's joke to share with you. Three priests met for lunch and to discuss, you know, how things were going in their respective parishes. And they realized they had the same problem. They had an infestation of bats in their bell towers. The bell towers were infested with bats. And they all said, you know, we tried fumigation, we tried this and that and the other, it doesn't work. Well, let's do this. Let's continue looking for a solution. And then we meet again maybe in a couple of weeks and see what happened. Sure enough, 2 weeks later, they met again for lunch. And the first one said, I lost my patience. I went up there with a shotgun. I shot a few down, but I damaged the bells. And the following day, they were all back. The second said, oh, I set up traps there. I caught them all, put them in a cage, drove 100 miles, released them on the mountain. Darn, they were waiting for me when I got back. The third one said, oh no, I got rid of them. Really? How did you do it? I went up there with holy water, baptized them. They left. They might come back for Christmas or Easter. Today's feast of the baptism of the Lord brings the Christmas season to an end. But oddly enough, it extends the Feast of the Epiphany. The Feast of the Epiphany is a trilogy of events. We heard last Sunday, Jesus manifested to all the nations through the Magi that came to adore him. Today, he is manifested at baptism as the beloved Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Next Sunday, we will meditate on the gospel of the wedding at Cana in Galilee, where Jesus manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. It's a manifestation. And today, actually, it's the first Trinitarian manifestation. It's the first time that we hear of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of dove, and the voice of the Father was heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, it's the first manifestation of the triune God in the Gospels. But now think for a moment about Jesus going to be baptized. It was shocking, embarrassing to even think about it. The early church really struggled with this. The only reason we have it in the gospel is because it was certainly a historical event. But imagining Jesus joining the line of sinners, can you imagine Jesus standing there in line to go to confession? That's what it is. People went to John the Baptist to confess their sins and to receive a baptism of repentance. Jesus did not need that. He does not need that. He's holy. So why did Jesus join the line of sinners going down into the muddy rivers of the Jordan River? Why? Not to be purified, quite the opposite, to get dirty. To join our condition of sinners. To walk side by side with each one of us in our imperfect condition. He was counted among sinners, as Isaiah had foretold. And throughout his life, we know that Jesus always was in the company of sinners, and he was criticized for that. Remember, the Pharisees criticized him. He has dinner with prostitutes and tax collectors. He went to stay at the house of Zacchaeus, who was a publicly known sinner. Even at his death, Jesus had two criminals on either side. So this is the manifestation of Jesus today. He is not the one that is coming down to cut down the bruised reed, to extinguish the smoldering wick. He is not coming as a Messiah to bring justice. He is coming to be in solidarity with us, to join us, to walk shoulder to shoulder with us. That's the kind of Messiah he is. He comes to bring us compassion, mercy. And upon seeing this, what does the Father say? That's my boy. That's what he says. That's my son. I am pleased in him. God is pleased when he sees that the son is exactly like Father. He is mercy, he is love. So the feast of the baptism of the Lord is a manifestation not only of the Trinity, but manifestation that our God is a God of mercy, who does not come to get rid of all sinners, but to walk side by side with us so that he may lift us up. It is a beautiful celebration today that reminds us of God's way. They are not our ways. Our way is always to count, you know, to make sure people know our titles and our dignity and what we are entitled to, not God. God humbles himself. He goes down and joins the sinners so as to lift them up. Saint Maximus of Turin, a saint, said, he did not go into the water to be sanctified by the waters, but to sanctify the waters with his presence, so that we at baptism might receive that holiness. And today we remember and own our own baptism. We joined Christ in that mission. The Holy Spirit came down upon him, just like he hovered above the waters at creation. And he came down as a dove. Interesting. Why? See, after the floods, Noah sent out a dove, and it returned with a leaf of olive in her beak, a sign that the waters were receding, a sign that the punishment was over. There was harmony, there was peace between God and humanity. That's exactly what the Lord is signifying here. The skies are open, heaven is open. Isaiah had said, oh Lord, if you could rend the skies and come down. Well, finally, it has happened. He is with us. And therefore, we who have been baptized have a chance now to live this life of holiness, of mercy, of compassion, of love. We are so quick at judging and condemning others. That's not what Jesus did. He came to join us and walk hand by hand and guide us that way. So today, let's own our baptism. As I said at the beginning, I was baptized when I was 6 days old. That's what the baptismal certificate says. But that day changed my life. I didn't know then. I didn't know for quite a few years. But one day, it dawned on me, I had a mission, and I wanted to fulfill that mission. I felt a calling, just like Greg, he felt a calling. But each one of us has received a calling because we were baptized. The Spirit came upon you as well. You have it. You are the beloved son and daughter of God. You are the beloved. One of the books that changed my life, by Henry Nouwen, The Life of the Beloved. That's who we are meant to be. Do you know you are beloved? Do you feel beloved? You are. You are. Gregory, come and tell us more about your vocation.
Good evening, everyone. Wow, this is awesome to be here. Thank you very much for this opportunity. As Father said, my name is Gregory Lambert. I am a seminarian for the Diocese of Orlando, and I am currently in my second year of theology, which is the equivalent of saying I am in my second year of grad school, which means I am in my sixth year of total seminary. So I've been in seminary for 6 years now. Yeah, right? You feel it? It's been a while. So thank you for letting me come here, and I guess I want to say thank you because out of a heartfelt appreciation for everyone who's ever discerned the priesthood or prayed for more priests or prayed for holy men to come into the priesthood, you've prayed for me. I'm trying to become holy. I'm trying to get there. So thank you all for your prayers, and thank you all for your support. Like Father said, I'm from Melbourne, Florida. I was born and raised in Melbourne, Florida. My parents still live there. I'm going to go and see them on my way back home tomorrow, or way back to seminary tomorrow. I'll go back home tomorrow. And I would just like to say it's been great. My path into seminary and faith in general is a little bit different than most because I was not born Catholic. Not like Father. I do remember being baptized, actually. I wasn't 6 years old. I was actually in the eighth grade. I'm a convert. My mom was actually practicing Buddhism at the time. So my entire family did Buddhism, and my mom was converted by someone at work at her job. And she came home one day and said, "Hey, we're all going to become Catholic." Like, what does that mean? I was very scared. I was very confused. And eventually I went to RCIA, and I took the classes, and I had this idea that if I become Catholic, then, you know, maybe I'll be a little bit more normal. You know, it sounds easier to say, yeah, I'm Catholic than saying I'm Buddhist and people having to ask me what that means and I do meditations and stuff like that. But now, I mean, I get confirmed, I get all the things I need to do and I start studying and I'm starting to like it a lot more. And I finally get invited to my first youth group event, right? My first youth group event with people my own age, freshmen in high school. I'm enjoying it, I'm loving life, it's been awesome. And from that point on, I grew with some of the best people I've ever met in my life. To this day, we still keep in contact. We're spread out literally all over the world, you know, doing the good work of Christ, being able to grow together in faith. It's amazing. Two of them followed me to seminary. And, you know, one now is getting married. The other one is also about to get married. And it's been a beautiful journey. So I like to say from the bottom of my own heart, thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers in letting me get this far. I do this for you, not for myself. It wouldn't be worth it if I was doing it for myself. And just thank you. I'm from the Parish of the Ascension in Melbourne, Florida. Father Tobin is my pastor. And the people that I've met there have made me have a lasting appreciation for the Catholic Church. It inspired me to take a hold of my faith, and to this day, you know, I still move forward, and I still keep strong in that. As a young man who has a high school education and goes to seminary, like me, I was 18 years old when I applied. I'm 24 now. I'll be 27 when I become an ordained priest. So I'll be a priest, you know, God willing, in 3 years. So I'm almost there. The process of becoming a priest for a young man who comes out of high school and goes straight into seminary is 9 years long. So I'm in year six, almost there. Hold tight, guys, almost there. It's a lot like what I like to say, becoming a doctor. The process is like becoming a doctor. It takes 9 years, it takes intense study and intense practice and good focus. But unlike a doctor, it's not about healing the body per se, it's about healing the soul. Not by our own power, but by bringing Christ to others, by being open, by allowing another human being to experience Christ through you. And it's a humbling life. It's amazing to do that and to be able to be that vessel for someone. It's something I don't take lightly, and I'll never will, God willing. Within that time span, the Diocese of Orlando has made sure that neither I or my brother seminarians have ever felt or are left without support or basic needs. So thank you for your support, and I am a product of that support. Through these past 5 years, I've had many triumphs, and I've had a few setbacks, But the one thing that I know I always keep in mind is the reason I came to seminary, and that's to serve the people of God. I want to thank Father for allowing me this time to share my vocational journey with you that I've been traveling with for 6 years now. I'll return to the seminary tomorrow to continue my study to one day soon be an ordained priest for the Diocese of Orlando, and who knows, maybe even your priest at this parish. You never know. So in closing, I would like to ask two favors of you. One is spiritual, the most important, and the second is material, but also important, but not as quite as important as the first. First of all, would you please keep me and my brother seminarians in your prayers? Please know that we will be remembering you in our prayers as well. And the second favor is, would you please be generous in supporting this year's diocesan seminarian collection? Our spiritual and financial support is very important to each diocesan seminarian. Thank you for your past support, and thank you for listening to me for today. God bless.